Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, everybody. We are here for the Falcon Zone. I am your host, Jeremy York, joined in the studio by a handful of people that will weigh in a little bit later, but also my co-host, Mr. Reggie Walker. How you doing, Reggie?
I'm doing good, Jeremy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, a few things we do want to hit on today, because I know everybody's still excited about the draft. We'll kind of preview what we thought about the draft picks the Falcons made.
Right, right. I think the big topic of discussion that I've heard just in the background has been you've kind of got two sets of people. You got some people that were thrilled with what we got, and obviously you have some people that were very questionable about some of the picks that we made. But as you mentioned, we'll get into those in depth here shortly.
Yeah, definitely so. And also some of the things we wanted to – you know, there's some news and notes that a lot of people don't know about, some things we've talked about all week that we've heard bits and pieces and the way different things are going to run. But, you know,
right.
Since everybody is still talking about the draft, you know, let's just start talking about some of these draft picks. And, you know, why not start with number six off the board overall, Jake Matthews out of Texas A&M as the offensive tackle. I mean, what will he bring to this team that they needed?
Well, I mean, based on his pedigree, I mean, the guy is by far, in my opinion, although Robinson went earlier than he did, he was by far, pound for pound, the best lineman in the draft. I think that there's speculation that he's going to be playing on the right side, which is not Matt Ryan's blind side initially. Obviously, at some point, they're going to move him to that left side, but he automatically brings stability to the line. I mean, that's a position that you no longer have to worry about. We had Lamar Holmes on the right side this last year, and that we all know how much Matt Ryan got pounded from both sides, but particularly from that right side. I think now you no longer have to worry about this guy because he is definitely short that side up.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, as me and Coach Hill were talking on End Zone, we were able to, you know, all three of us were able to meet up and hang out with the media section over at Dave & Buster's and meet some people and answer some questions and just, you know, talk overall football. The general consensus in the room was, you know, maybe about 60% were sure this was the guy, and the other 40%. The other 40 needed a little bit of convincing by us, and I'm still – a lot of people still aren't smitten with this guy, but to me, he's gonna make sure Matt Ryan stays upright and doesn't get hit in the mouth.
Right. I mean, he wasn't a sexy pick. Obviously, most real fans understand that our biggest deficiency was at pass rush, and based on Ian Rappaport's premature – and we were all sitting there, but his premature report – that Atlanta had actually made a trade with Houston for the first pick. The consensus was that we were going after Mr. Clowney, so that was definitely a downer for a lot of Atlanta fans.
Yeah, everybody got worked up, and I do believe that adult beverage sales increased after that rumor was proven untrue.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And again, as we'll get through some of these picks, I think I see where Atlanta is going as far as how to resolve that, because I think that's a question mark still in a lot of fans' minds, including myself. But just based on my overall analysis of all the picks that we've had thus far, I get a sense of where they're trying to go with their pass rush and how they think they're going to resolve it. But we'll definitely see. Jake Matthews was obviously the best choice. I mean, at that point at number six, you're not going to trade down. When that guy's available, you couldn't trade up. You had to take that guy. I wasn't happy with it as Coach Hill and I discussed several times, and you heard me several times. But, I mean, they had to go that route. They definitely had to go with Jake Matthews now that I look back on it.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, that was an interesting discussion between the three of us because I think you guys thought I was going to be the tiebreaker, and I was kind of middle ground because
right.
there was a lot of other people that I saw as well, but, yeah, Matthews is the pick. But we have a few callers that we're going to hit real quick before we get into these other picks. And
okay.
And let's see. Hello, you're in the Falcon Zone. Who am I talking with? try this again. Hello, you're in the Falcon Zone. Who am I talking with?
Guess they don't want to talk about us, huh?
maybe they were Tyler Lewan fans or something and wanted to weigh in real quick. But we'll try to get them back on the line here soon. But let's jump to that second round. And with the 37th overall pick, Rashid Hageman or Hageman, I've heard about six different ways to say his name. Rashid,
right.
I hope I'm not saying your name wrong. But defensive tackle out of Minnesota. To me, this is kind of – a good plug for the hole they've had on the defensive line ever since John Abraham went over to be a Cardinal.
Right. This guy is kind of versatile in that at the University of Minnesota, he played both defensive tackle and defensive end. I've spoken with some people that are alumni up in Minnesota and that have followed that football club closely, and there were two interesting points that I heard about it. A, the analysis on the fact that this guy tends to take plays off is definitely something that they noticed. But also, B, one thing I thought that was very interesting is that this guy is known to have been a perennial or consistent guy that works out with J.J. Watt and spent a tremendous amount of time with J.J. Watt during the offseason and during the regular season, just kind of working through some of his techniques. So I think, you know, the analysis on him is that he was definitely a first-round caliber pick. The only thing that kept him out of the first round was indeed the fact that he takes plays off. I think Brian Cox obviously felt like that was something that he could control and he could straighten out with this guy, because word has it that was Brian Cox's personal pick, that, hey, I want this guy. He's a long guy. He's 6'6", 310 pounds. He's definitely that guy that I think can get in there. He knows to raise his hands. Definitely if he's dealing with J.J. Watt, I think he's going to bring a different type of nastiness to that defensive line. And it's also going to play a very interesting role in, you know, Atlanta re-signed Parade Jerry in the offseason because they weren't real sure about the defensive tackle spot behind Jonathan Babineau and Paul Salah. So I think you may see the end of the days of Mr. Jerry as a Falcon. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, I was about to say, just a quick opinion on that. I feel like as soon as Rashid was drafted in the second round, I think Jerry may have to sign with another team after the spring workouts.
Right. I mean, again, very unfortunate for another first-round draft pick. The guy had several injuries, you know, during his college career, and he just could never really get it together after that big knee injury his rookie year. So hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens, though. We'll definitely see, because, I mean, depth has obviously been another issue for the Falcons as well, and he is a first-round talent, so you may not necessarily want to get rid of him if depth is really what you're trying to attack and preserve.
Definitely, and really this guy speaks for himself, but in the third round, the 68th overall pick, the Atlanta Falcons took Desmond Southward out of Wisconsin, the free safety. To me, this just adds depth when you already have corners – like Alford and Desmond Trufant. I don't know how I can forget a Trufant. There's three or four of them, and they're really good. But to me, this just adds, you know, instead of going and getting an aging veteran like a Champ Bailey, or even, you know, when they couldn't get Jarius Byrd, they went out and get Desmond Southward, where they can groom him to take over that role and almost build a Seattle-like Legion of Boom here.
Right, and Jeremy, don't be surprised to see this guy starting day one. I mean, remember, Atlanta did get rid of Thomas Dekou, and Southward played a lot of safety while he was at Wisconsin. And the guy runs a 4.38 40, I believe is what he ran at his pro day, and he's a thumper. I mean, so you couple this guy with William Moore, I would like to see him maybe placed at the strong safety and move William up into the – or place him at the free, sorry, and move William up to the strong safety. And I think Atlanta's got a secondary that's going to be to contend with. I mean, and you had to go strong like that knowing you don't necessarily have that pass rush that you think you're going to have. So I love this pick. This guy here was one of my favorite picks next to the next guy, as a matter of fact.
Well, one thing I like to say, Reggie, about Mr. Southward is that he is what, as a secondary coach, he is a guy, he's a strong safety with speed.
Right.
So that's what's going to – he's going to be able to close he's a ball hog, so he's going to be able to close on the ball faster with 4.38 speed, but he p- possesses the mentality of a strong safety, so he's going to make people pay. He's going to really make them pay. So beware everybody out there in that secondary that Atlanta's putting together now that this young man right here can close on you fast and will hit you hard.
Yeah, definitely, right. And that was Coach Hill who has joined us to talk some Falcons here. I knew there was some bait out there to get you to join us here. I knew there was some guys here you wanted to talk about.
Absolutely, being a secondary coach, absolutely. I knew it was coming with it. I'm glad to hear that, though.
Oh yeah, we have found the carrot here. We got you on finally, and glad to have you back on. But yeah, you do talk about what has been kind of, I guess, the sexy pick, so to say. With
right.
In the fourth round, they go and grab Devontae Freeman, 103rd overall running back from Florida State. This kid is definitely not only a change of pace back from Steven Jackson, but, I mean, he could be number two on the depth chart by the time the season starts.
Right, and he could actually be number one. I mean, there's been a lot of talk. The big talk about what's going on here is Warrick Dunn was absolutely enamored with this pick. Because if you look at his stature, I mean, the guy's what, 5'8", 5'9", 200
yeah.
some odd pounds. He is equivalent to what Warrick Dunn was, a guy that can run between the tackles, can make the defense miss. He does not have a lot of tread on his tires because he was not the feature back down at Florida State. But he's a tough kid, and I think that, you know, there are some circles that you read and some articles that I've read that call him one of the steals of the draft. I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, you get Steven Jackson hurt early, I think this guy might steal the show here. So I'm excited about this pick here. I didn't think he would be available in the fourth round, and I was actually glad that Atlanta went and picked him up.
So given Steven Jackson's history in the last couple of years, you're saying Devontae Freeman could start in week two, right?
Well, you know what? I would say this. First of all, I'm an Anton Smith fan, so I think Anton Smith is actually ready to start day one personally.
I'm right there with you on him. I like that kid.
Right. Another kid out of Florida State that, you know, 4.5, 40, takes it to the house, has proven NFL ability already. So that would be my first pick, but, you know, should that not pan out, definitely Devontae is next.
Definitely. And also in the fourth round, 139 overall, the outside linebacker from Notre Dame. This was actually the compensatory pick they acquired,
right.
Prince Shembo. And this kid can ball as well.
Right. Prince Shembo, the only thing that was very – for some people it was controversial. For me it was exciting to see finally the end of that quote-unquote Falcon filter. And for those who don't know, the Falcons have always had a notion of picking – players that had the best caliber or top-level caliber as far as their character was concerned. Prince Shembo had a situation where, you know, a young lady that apparently he sexually assaulted committed suicide. And so that was kind of that there was some controversy about the fact that Atlanta went with this guy. But his upside is outstanding. It's tremendous, and you can't deny his football ability. You just got to hope that his off-field issues were just that. You know, he was never charged. Let's make that clear. He was never convicted. He was never even charged. And that young lady also had attempted, you know, to commit suicide prior to that without him or not having been involved with him, so giving him his due justice. But that was definitely something that was a little different from the Falcons camp.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously condolences to the victim's family as far as that. But like you said, yeah, he wasn't charged with this. And even people with those little somethings, little things like this, sometimes they be positive, sometimes they're negative. But, you know, in his case, with so many, you know, quote-unquote good guys, the way Atlanta sports teams in general try to pick and try to get those character guys,
right?
It's almost safe in picking Prince here because there's so many people in that locker room that's going to be around him, especially great influences just in the linebacker core alone, that maybe they feel like all he needs is a little bit of polishing to kind of clean up that part.
Well, you know what? He actually fit the overall theme of everything that Arthur Blank said that he expected Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith to gravitate towards as they were picking their players, and that they wanted more toughness on either side of the fence, and they wanted a little bit more grit, if you will, with the players that we were starting to bring in. And that, you know, the word is that, you know, if you go to Notre Dame and ask them now, who was the hardest working player? Prince Shembo was the name that always came up. And that goes for Rush, you know, for Hagman. That goes for Devontae. That goes for, you know, Jake Matthews. These are all guys with high motors, guys that don't quit, guys that go 110%. And I think, again, when you're talking about that defensive side, I think Atlanta's defense is going to surprise some people this year. I really do, just based on some of the guys they brought in. And I think he's going to be one of those big surprises, kind of like with Paul Warlow and Joppolo Bartu that we picked up last year.
Yeah, definitely. And jumping to the fifth round, they were able to get the Purdue cornerback, Ricardo Allen.
Right.
You know, this guy is another, I mean, he's another potential Alford or Trufant, as far as you put him in maybe a nickel package or something like that, and it's going to be really hard to run past the Atlanta defense.
Right. One of the things I looked at when I studied Ricardo Allen, I wanted to see what he was about, and when I saw his stats and his stature, I automatically thought Brent Grimes. He's 5'9", he's 186 pounds, so he's a little guy, but he's quick. He has a lot of jumping ability. That was one of the things that was really kind of noted about this guy. This guy can jump out of the gym. So I think that they're again, he's one of those guys you don't expect to have to start day one, but he may be able to come in there and supplant a guy like Robert McClain, who kind of gave up on some plays a little bit last year, and it's going to be interesting to see how this guy pans out.
Yeah, definitely so. And, you know, as the former secondary coach, what do you like about this guy?
Well, again, he's scrappy, and that's the same thing I said about Grimes when he came to Atlanta. I liked him coming out of training camp and preseason, and I think that he is that type of guy. I think they want to go back to pulling a kid like that into their organization and saying, hey, I'm going to beat the odds. I'm going to show you that although I'm only 5'9", I can still play corner. I can still run with the best of them. I can still jump and elevate and just do all of the things that you like to see in a cornerback do. So I think, young man, I think once he gets to training camp, you're going to be able to see a lot more of him. And also keep in mind that with them having a free safety and now a corner, they're starting to mix it up a little bit in the secondary. So guys who got a little comfortable, who thought maybe, you know, they were going to go all offense and go with a lot of linemen, now starting to pull some secondary guys into the mix so they can have that competition in training camp.
Yeah, definitely so. Also in the fifth round, they were able they had another pick sitting there as well. They were able to get Marquise Spruill, the inside linebacker out of Syracuse. Now, you know, they went heavy in the outside linebackers or in the linebacker core in general. But,
right.
You know, what does Marquise add to this, and, you know, why is he the good pick here?
Well, the one thing, again, this is where I started to kind of understand how Atlanta felt like they were going to or are going to address this pass rushing deficiency, in that they drafted a lot of guys that were very speedy. This is just another guy. I mean, he's running a 4.5 40. He's an outside linebacker. He's long. The guy comes in at 6 feet, you know, 6'1", 230 pounds. He's one of those guys that, you know, you've got Salai, you've got Massaqua, you've got Hagman in the middle, Babineaux in the middle, clogging up this middle, taking up these linemen, and now you're blitzing these outside linebackers that's running 4.5s that tackle very well and that are very physical. So that seems to me to be the trend. And seem to be the trend, even not only with Spurrill, but with the other two guys as well that they picked in the seventh round. So I think that's how he plays into this. He's just another speedy outside linebacker that they can kind of groom into maybe that pass rushing position.
Right, and as you mentioned, the other guys they took in round seven, their last two compensatory picks, the outside linebacker out of Connecticut, Yawin Smallwood, and Tyler Starr out of South Dakota.
Right. Smallwood, he wasn't expected to come out as early, came out as a junior. However, he was a Dick Butkus Award semifinalist as he recorded, you know, I think he had like 100 and some odd tackles in his junior year. So he's a sure tackler. He's another one of those speedy guys that you can play on that outside that can rush the passer when it's clogged up in the middle. Tyler Starr is actually one of those guys that was another one of my favorite picks. I was surprised that he dropped as low as number seven. He had a great – I don't know if you got a chance to watch the East-West Shrine game, but he had a great game during that East-West Shrine game. I feel like he was another pick by by the defensive staff at Atlanta because, you know, again, 4'5", 840. I mean, 31.5-inch vertical. These are guys that are very athletic. And, again, you get outside of that defensive line, it's going to be tough to get around those linebackers. And I think Atlanta has built a very good linebacking core. Say what they want, that they're not going to the 3-4, but everything they pick seems to suggest that that's going to be the bulk of what the defense that we run.
Also, yeah, I was looking at that as well, Reg, and one of the things I can see that the Falcons are going to do, being that I'm a defensive coordinator, they're going to make sure that you can't get outside of them, so you won't run outside of them. You're going to push everything back up the middle. You're going to have to throw across the middle because you won't be able to get past their corners or the free safety. So it's going to be really tough for some offenses this year because I don't think people have seen with a speed defense in a long time. So now they come back to this speed defense, it's going to be really, really hard when you got guys running that fast. It's going to kind of mimic what I see in San Francisco right now.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
They always speed kills, and if you look at a lot of the picks from some of the other NFC South teams, they seem to go vertical. I mean, you've got Carolina that went with Benjamin, and there's a lot of other taller receivers that were selected. So you got to figure they can't go around them, so they're going to try to go above them.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. And we are up against the break as the producer is giving us a stink eye here. So on the other side of the break, we got some news and notes to catch you up on everything that's happened this week. And we'll try to get to a few more of you guys' calls. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Hey, Zoners. It's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? Then Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. And we are back. As always, make sure to visit our sponsors and let them know how much you appreciate them letting us do what we do every week. Always great food at Tequila Mexican Restaurant and Mellow Mushroom. You can always check out their websites for all the locations and everything. But now that we've gotten through all the drafts and everything like that, before we get into these last news and notes, let's try to take a few more of the phone calls. And as always, if you want to call us in, it's 347-826-7448. Again, that's 347-826-7448. And I believe we had it set up now where you can hit 1 to listen to the queue line, which is the call-in line, or there's other options in case you just want to call and listen in, you know, where you don't feel pressured to have to talk to us. Because we definitely like listening to ourselves talk sometimes. But let's try to take a phone call real quick. You're in the Falcon Zone. Who am I speaking with? All right, we'll try one more. You're in the Falcon Zone. Who am I speaking with? Well, I guess they were pretty content with what we said.
Right.
But, you know, a few things we've all thrown around and debated, some a little heavier than others, but a few things we've talked about this week is that, you know, Stanley Mapanga is going to be switching from defensive line to offensive line. And, you know, why would they need him to swap like that?
Well, I think what they're doing is they're playing to the strengths of this guy. I mean, coming out when he was initially drafted, he was kind of spoken about as that Charles Johnson from Carolina type guy. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the guy has incredibly long arms. He's extremely mobile. He's very athletic, and he's very strong. So, you know, knowing that they have some deficiencies, I think what this kind of alludes to is maybe Sam Baker is not quite ready to resume his position. And they're going back to depth. I mean, we're definitely flooded on the defensive tackle spot now based on some of the picks that we've made. and on that defensive front. So maybe this is just a chance to keep a guy that's very athletic. And being that Thomas Dimitroff comes from that Bill Belichick system, and you guys talked about that on End Zone a little bit earlier in their pick with Dominique Easley, and how, you know, sometimes you just pick football players and you just put them wherever. So I think this is just Atlanta and Thomas Dimitroff showing his pedigree.
Yeah, definitely so. And, you know, we also talked about the offensive scheme changing from a pass-catching tight end, you know, when Tony Gonzalez was here, to a blocking tight end where they can run more. You were saying you heard they were going to run more three wide receiver sets featuring Harry Douglas.
Right. They didn't retain Chase Kaufman, who is one of Coach Hill's favorites. So the consensus is that, you know, now they're going to more of the blocking tight end again. There'll be more run and more three tight end sets three receiver sets with featuring Harry Douglas a little bit more. So we'll get the chance to see what he does, despite my disdain for him.
Yeah, definitely so. Sometimes, you know, maybe they listen to us a little too much. But, right. you know, also, if we're going to talk about the new offensive scheme, we've got to talk about the new defensive scheme, which, for lack of a better way to say it, is kind of a amoeba with a distortion. And what I mean by that is it's a lot of 3-4 looks with some 4-3 looks and twists and variations thrown in there. The goal of the whole thing is to consume the offensive line with defensive linemen and then have the linebackers doing all the blitzing.
Right. And, again, based on their draft picks and based on their personnel, that seems to be the route that they're going. Mike Nolan, that's always been his style. I think traditionally, and Coach Hill, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike Nolan's always been kind of more of a 3-4 type of guy. He dealt with the personnel he had to, and he was doing a lot of that last year, and it just seems like he's made a lot of picks that kind of suggest that he's going to continue that route, which I'm okay with that.
I like what he does. Nolan is a very good defensive coordinator, and what I like about his defense is that he doesn't just make himself a staple one way or the other. He adjusts. So that's what's going to make the Falcons even better this year, because he knows how to adjust. He'll give a 3-4 look. I'm sorry, a 3-4 look. He'll do some things with it. He'll go to a 4-3. He'll do some things with it. And he has the speed now, because he's always been a speed guy. So these guys are going to be tremendous. Look for this team. I'm telling you guys, look for this team to be right now, for the lack of better terms, a poor man's version of what the Baltimore Ravens were. I'm telling you, they're going to be very fast, very quick to the football. You're going to see a lot of forced fumbles, a lot of big hits, a lot of guys knocked on the ground. And I'm telling you, I don't think there's a lot of fullback, running back combinations that are going to be able to block these guys, because they're going to be just that fast getting to the backfield.
Right. Being killed.
Oh, yeah. Definitely so. And I'm excited by all this. I hope Falcons fans are excited by all this.
I also have one question for you too, Reginald. Let's back up to the Mpongo, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
moving him from the defensive end, defensive tackle, to the offensive line. With that being said, does that answer the question of the nastiness that you speak of sometime on the offensive side of the line? Does that satisfy that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you get this guy, you got John Asamoah from Kansas City, and now Jake Matthews, from what I understand, even has a little bit of a mean streak despite the good boy look. So, yeah, between him and Hawley, I think we're getting back to that nastiness. That's what we need.
Yeah, definitely. Anybody named Matthew has got a little bit of a mean streak in him, because that's kind of that hidden gem that you don't see in a lot of people, but they definitely got it. But, you know, as we're in the last minute or so here, I did want to hit a rumor that you brought to us at first, and then we heard it kind of die off, and then you brought it back again and said that the Eric Berry trade rumors are still kind of on the table.
Right. There was a lot of talk during the draft that Atlanta was offering Kansas City a second-round draft pick for Eric Berry, who is a home guy. He was homegrown here. Went to I can't think of the high school now near Fayetteville, a Creekside High School out there, coached by Johnny White at that time. But from what I understand, my source tells me, who had a very good conversation with this guy on a personal note, and with his father, that, you know, there is some interest with this guy to come in and come home. He wants to come home. So, for what I understand, it's still not off the table. So that would be a good look. I mean, 25 years old, I know there's some injury histories there. But, I mean, hey, he's a pro bowler, and I love to see Eric Berry in the Falcon uniform.
Yeah, definitely. And from what we hear, maybe he's not as banged up as we previously thought. But
absolutely.
We are running short on time. For Reggie and Coach Hill as well, I am Jeremy from Falcon Zone. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.